Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, December 20th, 2019. Thousands are on the verge of starvation in Boma State.
Following these devastating floods that hit the entire Boma State from late September to November, the whole town of Boma State, especially the western part, plus some part in Greater Pochala, has been seriously overwhelmed with water.
And South Sudanese residents of Jebel Boma County wonder why they have been forgotten.
We, the people of Boma, are really being forgotten here, and we don't know whether the government has really forgotten about us people who are staying here in Boma.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. More than 10,000 households are affected by severe hunger in Jebel Boma County of Boma State, due in large part to the heavy flooding and impassable roads between Boma and Kapeta states. Viola Elias reports for VOA from Juba.
Mary Medina, a woman representative in Jebel Boma County of Boma State, says the hunger crisis started 5 months ago when the area was flooded. Medina says locals survive on wild vegetables they collect from the bushes. Medina says heavy rains destroyed all the local roads that enable traders to import goods from neighboring states to Boma. Speaking in Arabic, she says the people of Boma lack many basic services.
We are really suffering here in our state. We don't have access to roads, and also there is no network to connect us to the other states. So we are just isolated here. That is what has been causing us pain in Boma State. Another problem is that our markets here are even closed because there is nothing to be sold to the people for survival. The food scarcity in Boma here has lasted for more than 4 years, ever since the rainy season started. Right now, we are tired of staying indoor.
Jebel Boma County resident Marta Kuram says children are suffering from starvation. Speaking in her native Murle language, Kuram urged humanitarian agencies working in Boma to come to their rescue, saying the situation is dire.
Our children are really starving. We are just managing on local vegetable called malgering. We cook it for the children to eat every day. For those who would like to help, they should hurry up and rescue us, because if they don't, then I think people are going to perish in the nearer future.
Namene Nekula, another Boma resident, says she wonders how South Sudan officials can forget the people of Boma State. Speaking in Arabic, she points out Boma was a historic town during the SPLM struggle of the 1980s.
We, the people of Boma, are really being forgotten here, and we don't know whether the government has really forgotten about us people who are staying here in Boma. Boma State is one of the historic areas during the SPLM-SPLA struggle. So now, I don't understand why the government has really abandoned us. Where does it want us people of Boma to go to?
Aliston Waskin, Commissioner of Jebel Boma County, confirmed to South Sudan in Focus that there are severe hunger in Boma State, adding some people go for weeks without eating a meal.
We are in remote area now. You know, our food commodities are normally being brought from the site of Kapoita. And you know there is a heavy rain this year, of which there is no accessibility of the road. That is why you are seeing shops are no goods anymore, because they have got finished.
Waskin says he complained to both the national government and the international humanitarian agency to intervene, but no single agency has responded to his plea for help.
The other time I raised this issue to the state, so that the humanitarian has to really intervene about the hunger for Jebel Boma County, since the roads have become closed and there is no any food items again in the shops. So I raise it, but I'm still going to wait what is their response.
Waskin says many people are at risk of dying since the entire population of Jebel Boma County is suffering from hunger.
All of them, they are 58,000. But those who are all these 58,000 are suffering, you know. In fact, some of the people went to Ethiopia during 2013 clashes, and some of them now came. So those who are now present in Jebel Buma County, in various places, they are facing this hunger. So almost 12,000 people are suffering this hunger.
Jebel Buma is located in the greater Upper Nile region and borders the state of Akobo, to the northwest Imatong, to the southwest Kapoita, to the southeast Jungule to the west, and the country of Ethiopia to the east. It hosts Buma National Park, one of the largest national parks in Africa. Buma State was separated from Jungule State when marginalized minorities such as Murle, Anyuak, Jing, and Kachipo demanded autonomy from Jungule State government in 2015. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
The governor of Boma State, David Yao-Yao, confirms that thousands of residents of Boma are affected by the flooding and are on the verge of starvation due to a lack of food. Yao-Yao says lack of peace in the country is to blame for the slow response by the government to rescue thousands of families in several counties who have no food.
It is good that you went down there and seen the situation yourself and testifies to all the listeners, people who might be interested to support whatever the thing is best to support. Following these devastating floods that hit the entire Boma State from late September to November, the whole town of Boma State, especially the western part, plus some part in Greater Poshala, has been seriously overwhelmed with water, of which over 78 people are drowned to death, lost their lives, and thousands of livestock and stocks have been destroyed. Now situation left helpless, and the entire population of Boma State, really, they are in critical situation now. We have been trying hard to intervene with some humanitarian bodies following the visit of DSRSG and SRSG, David Shiara, in late November. And now, after their visit, at least of humanitarian interventions are now done to the people of Boma State. There have been some food dropping, provision of enervis, that's non-food items, medical attentions, hygiene and sanitation intervention have been also supplies to the people, and people remained in the IDP camps within the town of Pibo.
What are you doing about the lack of development in Boma State?
I don't blame anyone when it comes to developmental sector, because you know, the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan has been started early 2013. It actually happened together with, you know, the little game that we did from our part as the former Cobra factions. It coincided together with also the conflict of 2013, and it continues up to today. So within these, you know, time frames, so between 2013 and up to now, so there's nothing yet achieved. What is now ongoing is discussions, so between the government and the opposition groups, to see for it that, you know, peace must prevail in the Republic of South Sudan. So I don't think that between 2013 and today we are achieving anything. So what we are looking to to happen is let this ongoing peace prevail and be accomplished to the extent that it may allow us to achieve all these objective, the plan that we have to contribute to our community.
That was David Yao-Yao, governor of Boma State, speaking with my colleague John Tanza, who visited Boma State this week. South Sudan's presidential envoy to Boma State says people there are cut off from the rest of South Sudan due to a lack of roads. Akat Lual says the conflict has only worsened the humanitarian situation in Boma. Lual blames non-governmental organizations for isolating residents of Boma County, many of whom are starving.
That area in Boma State, especially Jia area, Kachipo and Murle, I think that area, during the war, President Salva was in that area when he was a commander. So I think that place has a special place in his heart. The situation today, it is because of the war. Otherwise, President actually has pledged some school and hospitals there in that place. But because of the condition now, there is no roads and there are no accessibility, that makes things difficult in that area. Not only in Kashibo area or Gia. If you go to Maban or if you go to some other places like Nasser, you will feel bad also. And it is because of the war that is taking place now. War and development cannot go together. So war is affecting all this.
Most of the people I spoke to in Buma State told me that they have been forgotten by the government of South Sudan. Some of them say they are regretting for voting for independence. And they went further saying that they thought independence meant service delivery. I know there is conflict in the country and NGOs are helping people who are in need. Is the government working hand in hand with the NGOs who are on the ground in Buma State and Pachala to help mitigate this looming starvation?
You know, since the independence of South Sudan, immediately after independence, the war has started here. So the government has been engaged in war between rebel and government all along. The NGOs here, to be honest with you, they are doing what they want. And I know there are money here in Juba. And this money should go to the people down there. But I don't think that one is happening. So NGOs are doing whatever they want and there's no control. I believe so. This is what I think. Because I don't see anything now happening in those areas, whether it is education or health or food even. There is no food there. And NGOs should do their part. But I think they see the window that we are fighting each other, so they don't care. They will do whatever they desire to do. Other than that, they are just doing whatever they want.
During my visit to Buma County and Pachala, I saw suffering of the people. What is the government of South Sudan doing to help the people who are at the verge of starvation?
The government is going to sign a peace. That's the most important thing. And when peace comes, I think the most important thing we need to do is to bring the network to those areas so that these people should be in touch with the government and their relatives in Juba or other areas. When you have a network there, you need to bring a road. When you have a road, you bring it, the development will take place. So these are the priorities now. And I think government is going to do this if the peace is signed immediately this year.
Some South Sudanese in the diaspora have been criticizing the government of South Sudan for not doing enough to alleviate the suffering of the people in the country. How do you react to their criticism? Some of them say you're not doing enough to address the situation.
My message to South Sudanese in South Sudan or outside Sudan, the country is ours, and the challenges we are going through will come to an end. And there is no independent country around the world without challenges. So these challenges, we will overcome them, and this country will be strong. So we need to put our hands together and solve with our problems and then bring our country to peace. This is the message I want to pass to our people, outside especially. People in diaspora are fighting each other every now and then. And I don't see any reason they should fight each other. They should unite. And then they are the one who should bring the message of peace to people in South Sudan. The division there is affecting us here. So they have to unite. As one people, one country.
That is South Sudan's presidential envoy to Boma State, speaking with my colleague John Tanza in Juba. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. More corruption is being reported in Yei River State. Find out more on that when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could swap lives for a day, who would you swap with and why? I'll swap with our finance minister because I think he's doing a yeoman's job and I want to have a feel of what he goes through in a day.
I'll change with my dad because I love him so much. He has been there for us. I mean, like, he has taken us in good schools. He has taken care of us. Because for us, our mom is not working. We depend on our dad.
If I was to swap with someone, I feel I admire myself more than anyone in this life. And I feel I'm capable of doing what those people are doing. So I would not swap for any person.
I would like to change position with the president because I feel it would be nice to give instruction to everyone.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some residents in Yei River State are appealing to the National Anti-Corruption Commission to investigate the circumstances under which millions of South Sudanese pounds were spent by government officials without service delivery to its citizens. The state's former finance minister, Lona Sadia, recently resigned and accused lawmakers of corruption after some MPs accused her of misusing public funds. Daniel Friday Martin has this report for VOA from Yei Town.
MPs and the state executive traded accusations over what was described as poor financial management of public resources and lack of procedures to conduct business in parliament. As such, the relationship between the executive and the state legislative branch of government deteriorated and the finance minister, Lona Sadia, was forced to resign from her position. Joseph Isaac, a local resident in Yei Town, says despite the bad relations between the two independent institutions, anti-corruption efforts must continue so that officials are held accountable.
I've heard several times from different sides about mismanagements of funds. 50 million have been spent without proper accountability, a lot of money being spent, yet money comes from the national government for service delivered to the citizen. So all this spending of money without proper accountability, it affects us as being the community down here. All we need is services to be delivered to us because we are the ones suffering at the end of the day. And we're asking the commissions, like the Anti-Corruption Commission, they should investigate this issue because it is we, the citizens, who are suffering most.
Ex-Yei River State Finance Minister Lona Sadia says despite corruption allegations levied against her, the parliament needs to demonstrate transparency on development grants allocated for infrastructure development.
I know why they were impeaching me, because they wanted to get share of the 8 million into their pockets. They asked me about exit money of 3 million each. They were afraid of the 12th of November, which had already passed, thinking they will be leaving the parliament and what will they go with. The speaker called me to ask me about exit money, which I did not give because it was not there in the budget. Could I allow corruption to be practiced in the parliament while there is no development in the parliament?
Daniel Okoroso, chairperson for the Finance and Economic Committee, says it is the mandate of parliament to play an oversight role in government.
Up to now, we are operating without a budget. A lot of withdrawals have been made on the pension account. When we ask for explanation, it is denied. This attitude of denying information is an offense that is punishable by law. And it is on this ground that we are trying to ask the ministry the manner in which money is now being spent without a budget. And she cannot give us very clear answer.
Another resident speaking in Arabic, who identified herself only as Joyce for security reasons, says despite the government's ability to raise enough revenue, little has been done in terms of service delivery.
In the country now, it's the government officials spending money on themselves without paying local workers. And now I can say it's the NGOs helping us in the communities. I want them to be questioned, and if found guilty, they must be taken to court so that they will not misuse public resources in the future.
Lona Sadia accused members of parliament of spending public resources without presenting service projects to the government on behalf of their constituencies.
Members of parliament of Yei River State getting tickets, is it really realistic? Flying to Morobo, flying to Tore, flying to Otogo, flying to Mugo, or flying within Yei River State here. They get tickets to go for recess. Where? When you are given money to go to recess, you have to go to your constituents to go and talk to your people. But they are here saying the minister is corrupt. Corrupt on what? Whoever has embezzled money and has not reported to the constituencies must be recalled.
Lokoroto says parliamentarians must fight corruption in the public sector.
Any denial of information constitutes a crime. The parliament will continue to ask questions in which, if there are no proper answers, we will continue the same scenario which is done today for the sake of the people of Yeriba State to ensure that what we have is given for the benefit of the people in form of service delivery. The resources that we have, let us use them in a transparent manner. This is required by the Constitution.
According to Transparency International, South Sudan is among the most corrupt countries in the world. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin, reporting from Yeriba State.
A coalition rebel group from the Nuba Mountains are demanding that Sudan be turned into a secular state from an Islamic one. The SPLA North, which has been engaged in peace talks with the transitional Sudanese government in Juba, says if Khartoum rejects their position of secularism, the Nuba Mountains area may break away into a separate country. Waki Simon Wudu has more from Juba.
SPLM North chief negotiator in Juba, Amar Amon, who is also the secretary general of the group, tells South Sudan in Focus their proposal is aimed at ending decades of conflict in Sudan that began in the 1950s.
This time, we resolve to solve this problem once and for all, so that we, instead of bequeathing generations after generations war, destruction and killings, we want them to live in peace, security, tranquility and prosperity.
For decades, Amon says the Islamic State of Sudan has been the major source of the conflict. The SPLM North key demand is either secularism or self-determination for the Nuba Mountains area.
Self-determination for us is a fundamental issue of principles. If we were able to achieve secular state in Sudan, then we will not be pursuing self-determination. But failing to achieve secular state in Sudan, then self-determination from being a negotiation position will become a fundamental principle for us. We will not abandon it whatsoever.
So far, says Amon, the Sudanese government delegation has rejected their demand for a secular state.
They think this international Islamic movement, which is very sensitive with the word secularism, and that will provoke, particularly they have bases in Sudan, they will provoke them. And also there are anti-revolution groups that are still there. And also the ousted Islamic movement in Sudan, they still have some weapons in their hands. So they will all regroup themselves again and using this anti-Islamic state we are demanding. They will create slogans like jihad, holy war, and defend Islam. The government fears this.
The SPLM North has waged war against Khartoum since 1983 when the movement was led by South Sudanese leader and founder John Garang. The resistance intensified in 2011 after South Sudan gained its independence and former Sudan President Omar al-Bashir tried to disarm rebel forces. Amon claims the SPLM North controls 80% of southern Kordofan and a considerable section of the Blue Nile region, an area bigger than Rwanda and Burundi put together. 8 years of talks and 22 rounds of African Union-led mediation during Bashir's regime have failed to resolve the conflict. Amon says Bashir never addressed the root causes of the conflict. Since the start of the South Sudan talks in August, Amon says the Sudanese government has shown much interest in ending the conflict. He says inequalities have grown between Muslims and non-Muslims under decades of Sharia law.
People in Sudan tested Islamic State. It didn't work. Actually, it brought division of Sudan. South Sudan got its independence because of these Sharia laws. And again, internally, the country has not been in peace with itself in Darfur, Inu Mountains, Blue Nile, in far north and far east. So there is no way of going back to Sharia law or laws that based on religion.
In the Nuba Mountains, Amon alleges at least 400,000 people have lost their lives and over 3 million are either internally displaced or became refugees due to the long-running conflict between the rebels and the government. SPLM North is negotiating with Sudan in a coalition of three parties, including the Coast Movement and the Beja Congress. This coalition is negotiating separately from the Sudan Revolutionary Front, a coalition of 9 other rebel groups. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Sudanese internally displaced persons from the western region of Darfur, meanwhile, are demanding that the transitional government include them in ongoing peace talks in Juba. At a joint meeting with the head of Sudan's Sovereign Council yesterday in Khartoum, the IDP said they have suffered long enough and want to return to their homes and lead dignified lives after nearly 2 decades of being displaced. Michael Atit has that story for VOA from Khartoum.
A group of IDPs and refugees from the western region of Darfur, who met with the head of the Sudan Sovereign Council, Abdul Fattah al-Burhan, expressed their intent to take part in the peace talks now underway in Juba. Speaking in Arabic, Ahmad Ibrahim, a representative of the IDP, says the peace process should be inclusive.
We announced our intention to take part in the ongoing peace negotiations as the affected displaced persons. We have a clear vision to how to resolve challenges facing issues affecting displaced persons and refugees. We as IDPs, we have been suffering from the policy of the previous regime for 17 years, and up to now we are still suffering.
According to UN report, about 2.4 million Darfurians are internally displaced. About one-third of the population are living in the refugee camps in the neighboring Chad, with the additional of thousands living in villages inside the Chadian border and dispersed throughout the country. Between 300,000 and 400,000 people have been killed since the conflict erupted in 2003. Ibrahim says the time has come for the transitional government in Sudan to put an end to this suffering and allow the IDPs and refugees to return home.
We demand the transitional government to strengthen presence of the security forces such as army, police, rapid support forces and security to provide the IDPs and refugees for our safe return. Our people need to rebuild trust among themselves, and we believe our government is going to stand beside us.
Al-Burhan says transitional government is committed to achieving lasting peace in the country. Speaking in Arabic, Al-Burhan vowed to engage all Sudanese, including the IDPs and the refugees, in the peace talks.
We are striving that if we achieve peace, it should be a complete peace. We want to make sure that everyone who is not part of the peace process, we should bring him on board. We don't want to keep another room for anyone to be holding gun in Darfur or any part of Sudan. We should sit down, forgive one another, and pardon each other and resolve our own problems by ourselves.
Al-Burhan says the change in Sudan is real and Sudanese should be working together to rebuild what has been destroyed over the past 3 decades. He says past and present Sudanese military and government officials have an obligation to confess their wrongdoings and seek forgiveness from the victims. This way, he says, people will be able to forget the past and move on.
People should admit their mistakes and ask pardon from the victims. We are all aware that people in Darfur have experienced injustice for so long. IDPs, refugees, women and children and vulnerable groups. It's a time for justice and peace to prevail and their rights should be given to them.
Years ago, the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant against Sudan's former president Omar al-Bashir for crimes against humanity and war crimes allegedly committed in Darfur since 2003. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
That's our show for this Friday. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.